Thank you. So in upstate New York, we have a lot of chlamydia and gonorrhea cases reported to us. And you know, the whole point of chlamydia screening is to prevent PID and its sequela. And we found we have very few PID cases reported to us. So the question is, you know, are we really, you know, hot health departments and ensuring that everybody's getting chlamydia screened and we don't have any PID cases, or we're just not finding any PID cases reported to us? So we decided to look in emergency departments for to see if there's really PID occurring in our areas. So I just want to acknowledge Heather Lindstrom, who's the first author, who couldn't be here today, and our colleagues in Syracuse, Lynn Weiner and Diane Rothmel. So we know that pelvic inflammatory disease can occur in 10 to 20% of females who are inadequately treated with chlamydia or gonorrhea, and it's the leading cause of preventable infertility, and it's a way that we measure our success with a chlamydia screening program is by looking at trends of our outcomes, which we're trying to prevent, which is PID. However, PID is often missed. It's a clinical diagnosis. It's not based on a laboratory test, so unlike gonorrhea or chlamydia, where you have a lab test that will tell you yay or nay, you really have to rely on a clinical diagnostic exam to diagnose pelvic inflammatory disease. And CDC recommends empiric treatment for a pelvic inflammatory disease for all young females who are at risk for STDs, who present with pelvic or lower abdominal pain and have either cervical motion tenderness, uterine tenderness, or adnexal tenderness on physical exam. And we feel that with PID surveillance is really challenging. We believe that it's underreported because, first of all, you know, many of the reported gonorrhea chlamydia cases come exclusively from laboratories and not from the clinicians. But for PID, there's no laboratory test, so we have to rely solely on clinicians to report PID cases, and we all know how that works. And then also reporting forms may not capture PID. In New York State, you know, PID actually is not a standalone diagnosis. It's actually captured through surveillance as a complication of chlamydia or gonorrhea. So what we decided to do, again, is to look for are we missing PID cases in our communities. And so we decided to look for PID in females who were diagnosed with chlamydia or gonorrhea in emergency departments, because we assume that young women with acute onset of pelvic or lower abdominal pain would present to emergency departments for care. So our sample included patients who are diagnosed with either gonorrhea or chlamydia in three large urban emergency departments. Two were in Erie County, one was a children's hospital, the other was the large trauma referral emergency department, and one was the University Hospital in Onondaga County. And we included in our sample all females who were diagnosed with either gonorrhea or chlamydia in these emergency departments that was reported to the local health department. In Erie County, we were able to look at data from all 2009, and then from Onondaga County, we looked at data from the latter half of 2009. So our strategy was we developed a data collection tool, and we had medical residents review the medical records in the emergency departments of these females who were diagnosed with either chlamydia or gonorrhea during that time using the standardized data collection tool. And so the collection tool included the female's chief complaint, the clinician type, being it a doc, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, the physical and pelvic exam findings, the lab findings, the treatment that was given, and the discharge diagnosis in the medical record. So we classified as female who had gonorrhea or chlamydia in the emergency department as having PID in our medical record review if they had either the finding of cervical motion tenderness, uterine tenderness, or adnexal tenderness documented in the physical exam in the medical record. So what did we find? Well, all in all, we found 258 cases of gonorrhea or chlamydia during our surveillance period, and most of these cases occurred in adolescent or young adult women. So looking at the number of PID cases that we found, so among the 258 gonorrhea or chlamydia cases, through our surveillance methods of review of electronic medical records, we found 44 cases, or 17% of the gonorrhea or chlamydia cases we felt through our medical record review had pelvic inflammatory disease. However, the clinicians in the emergency department did not find as many PID case, or did not diagnose as many PID cases. So among the 44 cases that we identified as having PID, there are only 30, so about two-thirds of these females who we felt had PID based on the physical exam were actually given a discharge diagnosis of PID in these emergency departments. And then even more bad news, the number of cases, of 44 cases that we felt had PID based on our medical record review, only 12 or 20% received the CDC recommended treatment for pelvic inflammatory disease. And even more bad news, among the 44 cases that we felt had PID based on our medical record review, there are only 10 or about 23% of those cases that were reported to the local health department. And I think the scariest finding for me is among the 258 cases of females that were diagnosed, had a positive chlamydia or gonorrhea test as a result of their emergency department visit, there were 53 women, so that's about 20% of all the cases, who never had a pelvic exam. So we will never know if they had pelvic inflammatory disease. These women had a urine gonorrhea chlamydia test sent and never had a pelvic exam or, you know, a full evaluation for PID, even though they had gonorrhea. We know, you know, Monday morning quarterback that they had gonorrhea or chlamydia and they presented with acute onset of lower abdominal or pelvic pain. So conclusion, we feel PID is underdiagnosed by many clinicians in emergency departments, and we're also concerned that patients with PID are often inadequately treated. And pelvic exams may not be performed on all patients where an exam is indicated. So in terms of surveillance, our surveillance systems that rely on clinician PID reporting, we feel significantly underestimate the morbidity of PID, which I think is adversely affects our ability to measure our success of our large chlamydia screening program. And enhanced surveillance can improve case detection, but it has significant limitations. First of all, it's very labor intensive. I mean, if you can find some medical students for work for you for free, that's great, but otherwise, it's really hard. And then we found a lot of incomplete medical record documentation, you know, for example, on the physical exam. So the limitation sample size, we only use large urban emergency department, and the PID classification was dependent on the documentation of the clinical findings in the medical records. So again, if they didn't do a physical exam or they didn't document their physical findings, you know, we were limited to our ability to determine if somebody really had PID or not. So our recommendations based on this study is that we hope that emergency department providers will receive training on the diagnosis of PID, its management, and the reporting requirements. Some suggestions is using a strategy like academic detailing or individualized provider education to effectively train providers and change their behavior. And if enhanced surveillance is conducted, we feel that it's really important to share this data with the providers where you collected the data. I did that, and it was kind of a disaster. I can tell you about it in the question period if you have any questions. Thank you.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Finally, a talk I can sink my teeth into.
Oh, good.
I'm a gynecologist from Alaska, and I've met Gail at a couple other things. One comment and a couple of questions. I found it interesting because many of the places that I've worked with very high rates of sexually transmitted infections, I find the exact opposite problem, that PID is overdiagnosed. What are your rates higher than average, or are you in the lower range of the state or the country as far as chlamydia and gonorrhea?
I think our area in New York State, we're in the higher range of reported gonorrhea and chlamydia cases, and we have very few actually reported PID cases. But again, it may we didn't look at all PID cases in this surveillance project. We just looked among females who ended up having a diagnosis of chlamydia or gonorrhea, you know, who had PID based on their medical record review. We didn't really have the resources to look at all the females who came in, who presented to those emergency departments over that period of time.
Did you notice any difference in the adolescent pelvic exams at the children's hospital versus the adult hospitals?
Well, I can tell you that the in both institutions there were cases where pelvic exams were not performed. When I gave feedback to the facilities in our area, the Children's Hospital, they were really concerned that they were missing cases of PID and may not be doing a comprehensive and physical exam. In the Tertiary Care Adult Trauma Center, they wanted to know how I could tell they really had PID, what the definition of the diagnosis was. Statements like, well, if you're mashing on a woman's cervix, of course it's going to be tender, and how do you know Suffixime doesn't work? And so we decided to, the plan was to, I would come and give a grand rounds on it. I emailed them, about five times, never heard back, so I just dropped it. That was a bummer.
We can be a stubborn lot.
I know you said you had compared by provider type, like NPPA, MD. Did you find a significant difference between any of them?
We didn't really have enough numbers in our sample. I think, most of the exams were performed by actually medical residents,
okay.
I think, and then they're signed off by the attending.
Okay.
Places where they had residency training centers.
Hi. I'm Jennifer Reed. I'm actually a pediatric emergency medicine provider at Cincinnati Children's. So you are preaching to the choir here. This, everything that you found is, I find, exactly true in the emergency department, unfortunately. And I am one of those that sees exactly what you see. Obviously, I am here, so I feel the same way you do. I tell my colleagues, if the ear hurts, you look in the ear. So if they're having vaginal discharge, you got to look. And but still, there's all those out there that will just get a urine and not necessarily do the pelvic exam. So we are trying really, really hard to push that they need to do the whole comprehensive exam. The one thing, this was retrospective, obviously. We know that some of the documentation, especially in the emergency department, is not ideal. And so my guess is that that's probably a lot higher than what you even found here. But I think that this is fantastic information and something that we can push forward. Did you or do you have the ability to look and see how many of these patients actually then came back and had secondary, the ones that had gonorrhea and chlamydia that maybe weren't treated appropriately the first time or had PID and weren't treated appropriately that came back with secondary, infection symptoms?
Yeah, that's a great question. We didn't really have the resources to do this. And also the problem is that, if they came to the emergency department and they weren't, their concerns weren't fully addressed, they may not return to the emergency department. So I couldn't tell if maybe they've gone somewhere else. That would have been a limitation.
Okay.
But thanks. It was interesting with the, it's mentioned many times these girls had urine scent, and many times these, when we felt that they, and from our chart review, that these young women had a diagnosis of PID, but they were discharged with another diagnosis, it was not uncommon that their discharge diagnosis was a pyelonephritis or a urinary tract infection, even though their urine dipstick was like their UA is completely sterile, is negative, no white cells, and it was just kind of a discharge diagnosis, a garbage can diagnosis.
So I'm Lois McGuire from Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota, and chlamydia gonorrhea triggers an automatic report to us from public health to fill out. I've never received one for PID. And is there a breakdown in the system, or is that just our system that's broken down?
Well, I can tell you in New York State and in many states have automatic electronic reporting requirements from the laboratories. So the automatic reports that we receive are laboratory, from the laboratories or laboratory case reports, not from the clinician. And that's the problem with PID surveillance is there's no lab tests that will tell us whether someone has PID or not. So we can't rely on the laboratory for those reports, and we have to rely on the clinicians. And we all know that's very frustrating. And most cases are not reported by clinicians. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.